Sorry about that. We just go ahead and record the session tonight. We're going to talk about doing an open house and the top 10 things to consider when doing an open house. If you have a note sheet handy tonight, you may want to take a few notes as we go through some of the ideas. Might spark some more discussion. We also have a Facebook account that one of our brokers manages, and it's been very helpful for some of our agents to interact with each other in that type of way and get ideas and have further discussion about listings and about things they're working on. So be sure to check it out. It's BCR Washington, I believe, and you can just ask to join and we'll go ahead and accept you if you are licensed with our firm. With number one, we're going to start with the first item about how to have a good open house. And the thing to do would be to, obviously, if you're doing it for someone else, you want to start early and get your preparation done so that you have an effective day. If you wait till the last minute and you're scrambling to get up in the morning on a Saturday morning and get all your signs put up and balloons up and have everything ready to go, you're missing a huge opportunity to use an open house to actually farm or market for additional clients or to get additional leads for yourself. So be sure you're doing these open houses correctly, and if you're struggling and you're not getting the amount of people coming through, you're probably doing something wrong, or in rare cases these days, it may be not the right type of property to do an open house. The only time that I've had problems with getting open house attendance, especially when I do a huge blast and we go over all of these ideas, would be a house or something really tucked back in the country. I tried to do an open house, for example, in Enumclaw, and this was not even the heart of Enumclaw. It was way out there. Took about 5 minutes to get to the location, and it wasn't well attended. And that tends to happen with some of our properties or our listings located in the outer limits or the outer areas of the city, or maybe just where there's several turns in order to get to the property. Maybe it's high on the mountaintop in Issaquah, and you're not going to, it takes about 5 minutes to get to the property from the main road. Those are properties where you may not benefit from doing an open house. So the first thing I would do if I was going to say, yes, I'm trying to build my business, I'm happy to help an agent on BCR by taking their listing and actually hosting it for them, would be to pull up the MLS sheet. I want to know what the MLS number would be. I'd go to the MLS and I would put it into a general search, find the actual listing sheet, and look at where it's located. I'd look at the map and I would also check out to see the price and to see how it was marketed and the kind of photos it has, and determine whether this would be a listing that I would want to do. And that's something that our buyer's agents have to decide when they're deciding to work for another agent, or, you know, we have an opportunity to host an open house. I saw one just a little bit ago on Facebook, and it was nice because somebody already picked that one up. So having an MLS sheet done on the property before you commit to doing the open house would be number one tip. Also comparing and making sure on number one, as early as you can do it, that it gets that open house date and time gets posted on Zillow and that it syncs with Redfin. Many people ask me, well, how does it sync to Redfin and how does it sync to Zillow? Well, this is the opportunity to have a discussion with those who are not well-versed in the online lead generation. Zillow is not a real estate brokerage. Zillow is an online lead portal and an advertiser, which is much different than Redfin. So you do have to manually enter in the open house on Zillow. You can't just expect it to auto-populate. Sometimes it does, but I've found that most of the time, if you wait till the day before and it's not on Zillow, you're going to really hurt yourself in the marketing category if you're not advertising your open house on Zillow as well as Redfin. To do that, you have to give yourself enough time, Monday, Tuesday, because if there's problems, and Zillow has been known in the last 2 months to have problems with their syncing, with our connection, with the data that they're getting from the MLS, because I've signed an agreement with Zillow to take all of our listings and put them on Zillow in a structured fashion, we have had some gaps where, because they say that there was not enough information, which is ridiculous, they were not posting the open house or posting the listing in general on Zillow. So be sure you give yourself some time. Don't just expect that I can put it on Zillow the day of or the day before and it will take. Give yourself a week in advance if it's, you know, at least. With Redfin, it's much simpler because Redfin is a real estate brokerage. They're a similar brokerage set up to like ours, where they are getting data directly from the MLS. And so because of that, sites like Redfin, Windermere, John L. Scott, Coldwell Banker, sites that pull the data because they're a brokerage directly from the MLS are actually taking the data that you input into the MLS. So don't wait till the day before if you're hosting for someone else. Make sure that that listing agent has properly put the date and the time, or the listing coordinator, if they're coordinating the listing, that open house has been properly marketed on the websites, specifically Redfin and Zillow. Without those two portals pulling the open house, you are missing out on opportunity. You're missing out on marketing promotion for your open house. So be sure you do that, and all the other websites should follow suit. It shouldn't take longer than 24 to 48 hours for some of those websites to take. The other thing I get asked a lot when I'm talking about bullet point number one is, Rochelle, you know, I'm going to be doing an open house this weekend, but I don't know what time. What's typically done? What time frame should I go for? And there's not really a good answer to that. It really depends on the location and the property. But I think a lot of people fail to use the MLS to either get more research done on the open house strategy or to find out what their competitors are doing. You can actually, what we call, piggyback on the marketing that others do in other brokerages. So, for example, if I was doing an open house in Federal Way today, I may want to go and see if there's any other open houses going on in the Federal Way area. And I can do that by going to the MLS, going to Radius, and there actually is a search box to see open houses that are scheduled between such and such a date and such a date. So I can really identify, and you may have to wait until Wednesday, maybe Monday. You may even have to go back in time to see when the open house was scheduled, because that data sticks with the property sometimes. Many agents don't redo the open house. They just do it one time. So you may want to go back in time 7 days ago and see what open houses have been scheduled in that particular area. Or you may want to see what's coming up, and you can easily make a decision on what you want to do. Do you want to do Saturday? Are the other competitors doing it on Saturday and Sunday? Are they only doing it on Saturday? Are they only doing it from 12 to 4? Or is it 1 to 3? Or is it 1 to 5? Or is it 2 to 6? What time frame works in one area may not work for another. So you can often go to the MLS and see what the competitors are doing and align yourself with their similar marketing strategy to take advantage of people driving around looking at open houses. However, I have had agents, depending on the area, again, very dependent on the area, decide I'm going to do my own. I'm going to go really all out with this open house. I'm going to be the lone person doing it on a Friday night, and they've had better success at a Friday night than a Saturday or Sunday when people are at soccer games or football games or things of that nature, or they're just out of town for the summer, or it's Father's Day weekend. You got to look at the calendar and make a determination on what makes sense for this particular listing in this locale and what the competitors are doing. Those are things to consider on number one when you're looking at your MLS sheet and prepping your online resources. Number two point. You might want to encourage a lender to support you. I've done this. In my career, I do not believe, in fact, it's proven, that open houses are not the number one way that a property sells. And so as a listing agent, and a very savvy one at that, I realized that a lot of times an open house, the benefit of doing an open house is for you to either A, pick up buyers, B, the lender's able to pre-approve some buyers and pick up leads that way, or C, sometimes you do find a buyer that actually writes on your open house. So the other reason to involve a lender would be for them to pre-approve buyers there at the open house, or to give financial advice to buyers who may be touring who do not think they could qualify. This happened to me one time where I had a listing that was quite expensive for the location. It was in a very nice neighborhood, and we had several people come through. I failed to have a lender join me, and it was a very, very big mistake, because about five of the buyers that came through were unrepresented, were coming through while I was working with other people touring the property, and it would have been nice to have another set of hands or another mouth to discuss the property and to discuss the potential of these buyers actually purchasing. I wasn't able to capture them as leads because I was already working with other buyers. So having another set of hands to help with your open house can make a huge difference. And with that particular listing, I may have been able to help two or three other people get homes in the location, but I didn't have a lender and I didn't have enough help to handle all of the people that were interested in the property coming through. A lender can also support by providing a special flyer. Every week I get an email from Greystone Mortgage, who I love to partner with on some of these marketing ideas, and they ask me, Rochelle, would you like me to create a flyer for your listings? And this would be an easy way for you to have a flyer created at the lender's cost, at the lender's time, and then have that lender bring those flyers with him or her to the open house when they come. And this open house flyer can have grids, it can have demographics, it can have information about the location, it can have information about their payments. So there's many different flyer options that are available to the lenders that can assist in discussing whether this property would work for this particular buyer or if they should consider other properties. But also the lender can support with signage. If our kits are already checked out, we have an ultimate open house kit in both Tacoma and Seattle office. If both of our kits are checked out and you're like, I need to have a lot of signage for this particular open house, and I need a flag that goes at the beginning, and I really need some supplies, you may want to reach out to Greystone Mortgage. Bay Equity also has an open house kit, and there probably are some other lenders that do as well. Those two I know have great open house kits, very flashy, and they actually have some teenage kids or some people that they've paid to help set up signage ahead of time, which will cut your time in half or even more. I have had a lender support me in that fashion. It makes all the difference in the world in the setup. You can plan that if you did it yourself, you need at least an hour, but you might need more like 2-3 hours if you're going to set up 50 signs and do it an ultimate open house like the lenders do or like the lenders support. So if you're going to do that type of open house, you need the support of a lender. Don't forget to reach out ahead of time. Our lenders like it if they know ahead of time so they can put it on their calendar at least a couple weeks in advance. So you may want to think about that when you sit down with your seller right off the bat to discuss your marketing strategy. If you're going to incorporate an open house, you may want to reach out and find out what the schedule of the lender would be so that he or she can join you at that open house and they can get it on their calendar. Number three, signage. What I have on my notes for signage is go big or go home. And make sure you map it out ahead of time and decide where you're going to have your open house signs. A lot of people come to the office or they call Danita in the Tukwila office and they say, hey, can you reserve 2 or 3 signs? And I'm thinking, I wonder how much traffic they're going to get at that open house. If they only had 5 or 10 more, so we went ahead and purchased at our cost, so we have them ready for you, some really big arrows that say open house that you could purchase yourself. They don't run very much. And that would be something you could have on hand, and that way when you come to check out your A-frames, you may only need a couple, one for maybe right next to your listing and one maybe at the first turn with a balloon on it. And then you use these, they go in metal stakes, they're corrugated type of signs, and they say open house, and they're printed on both sides. You could have those already in your garage or in your car because you've purchased them ahead of time. We're just giving you a discount because we purchased a lot. We purchased about 100 of them, And, you know, you can purchase them from us at cost, and we got a discount because we purchased so many and used a coupon. So we're not making money on those open house signs, and we do ask that you, when you do borrow the open house A-frames, that you bring them back, you know, quickly for other people to use and check out. And also, if they, you know, they're damaged, you know, you may want to just purchase them. There are some kits that you can purchase if you wanted to reskin them and give them a fresh look. If you have some of those signs maybe from another brokerage that you are always wanting to do, there is a company that will reskin them for half the price if you were to remake them. And that's a really good deal. You do have to use an X-Acto knife to cut it. And then you do have to kind of place them on nicely without bubbling. But one of our office staff has been able to do that successfully on a few occasions. So if you need some help or need to know where to go, just send an email to support@bestchoicerealtywa.com, and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction of the reskinning, or if you need some help in getting some A-frames reserved, or you may want to get some pricing on what it would cost to get your own open house kit. We can assist you with that. Mapping it out ahead of time, what I do when I map it out ahead of time is I print a Google map, you know, or you can do it on the MLS, and you can look at the map, and then I pinpoint where I'm going to put signage or where I'm going to have the lender look to put signage so that he or she that's helping me with the open house assistance knows where we need to get signs out. And then when we get to the property early enough, that way I'm also assisting in putting the signs up near the property, and the lender is maybe going out farther to get more people coming to the property. So we divide and conquer when we talk about signage. Number four, the day before or the day of. One of the tips that I've picked up from top producers is they door knock around the listing, and they give the homeowners of these listings a flyer. And you might want to put a post-it note on that flyer if the property owner is not there, and on the post note say, please call me if you have questions or concerns. We have had agents that have done this in certain locations or neighborhoods, and it saved them a lot of hassle because, you know, they actually stopped and knocked on the door ahead of time to let the property owners know that they were going to be there. They may have people that want to move to the neighborhood that they know, or they may have a son or a daughter who's currently living in their home, and they want them to be close or nearby. And so it's an opportunity for them to maybe do an investment or to get their family member or friend into the open house to see if it will work for them. One way or the other, I've never been sorry that I've went door knocking the day before or the day of before I do the open house. So if you're doing it, say, in the afternoon, you may want to get out there first thing in the morning and start door knocking as people start leaving to go places on a Saturday or a Sunday, and let them know what you're doing and what you're all about. And we picked up leads before by doing that strategy. And saved some hassle if maybe we put a sign in the wrong place, or we use a neighbor's driveway on accident, or our lender friend put something where they shouldn't have. And that has gone a long way by knowing that the neighbors have knowledge about this open house, and they can, you know, they know it's only a short period of time. So consider that as you're preparing for the open house. Number five, you could order a home book, and I love home books for properties where maybe the demographics of the school districts are confusing, or you want to have where you know they're going to be really busy, and you're kind of providing a way for the client to stand at the kitchen counter. That's typically where I put my home book. And while I'm talking maybe at the entrance and getting somebody to sign in at the sign-in sheet or the book, that home book can draw their attention to something while they can look at the property and wait for me to get done with another client. Home books run about $12 to $15. It's a binder, and all of the title companies, the major title companies, provide these home books, and you need to order it ahead of time, but they can actually deliver it to the property, deliver it to the office, meet up with you. The title reps love to meet with you, especially if they're going to order title, and you can ask and request for a home book to be ordered, and that way you'll have a home book ready for your potential buyers who are asking questions that you may not know the answer to. They may ask you questions about the demographics or the crime or the schools or the churches that are nearby, And drawing their attention to that home book can maybe answer a lot of questions so that you are not giving advice that's inaccurate, especially if you're not doing it for yourself. That may be a question you want to ask the listing agent you're covering for. Do they have a home book? And if not, what should they provide as far as information about the property? Number six, it's been asked many times by agents at our firm, Rochelle, do you provide snacks or lunch or water or soda or tea or coffee at these open houses? And the answer is actually it depends. I have done all of the above. I've had nothing, which have been successful, and I've had water. I've had coffee and tea, which has been helpful with some of my higher-end properties, so they have time to actually sit and experience the view or sit out on the back patio and drink something. What I can tell you about having snacks and water, tea, or coffee, it's an opportunity for you to keep the client there longer. However, they'll do everything they can to just come in, find out what the price is, and walk out. So anything you can do to make them feel welcome or provide information, it's always welcome, but don't go crazy. On most listings that are priced at average or below the market price or that are not luxury or high-end where your competitors are doing something like that, those properties, most clients do not. In fact, when I've provided these big catered platters and things like that, most clients don't piece on it. They end up wanting to grab a water or have a sip of a tea or a coffee. They're not wanting to really devour a lot of food. However, appetizers might be nice in some higher-end places, and you know, you may want to consider that before you go out and spend a bunch of money for food or beverages. You may want to find out what the competitors in your area are doing. And, you know, I've even heard of way up in Edmonds, for example, they even hired a food truck at one of their listings and drew a ton of attention. Now, it might not have been the right attention, but they definitely had eyeballs on that particular listing, and they pulled leads from that. So it's something to think about when you think about, do I provide snacks, water, tea, coffee? Think about what you're trying to accomplish by doing that, and then make your decision based on that. Number seven, market statistics should be available to give. Don't give them flyers. So a mistake I made early on in my career was I was never trained on how to conduct open houses. And so I often would, you know, let the people come in. I would be warm and welcoming, but I would give them a flyer, and then they would take the flyer, look at the price or look at the property and go, oh, we needed a 5-bedroom. And then they would walk out the door, and I would be kind of trying to figure out, well, what did I do wrong? Why are they not staying in the property or experiencing the property? Was I not welcoming enough? And so I started to wonder why it was the way it was. And so I decided to ask my coach at that time how to keep people's attention. And one of the best ways to do that was to really understand not necessarily the market not necessarily understand the house or the property I was showing, but to understand the general marketplace and be able to speak to some of the things that are going on in the marketplace. Oh, did you know that house down the street, that blue house, they listed that last weekend and they were able to get $290,000 for it. That kind of information goes a long way instead of just giving what we call throwing up on the client, but giving them a flyer that has all the information, they're less likely to walk through or tour the property or ask you questions. But when they ask you questions, try to incorporate some market statistics. So use InfoSparks. It's a market statistic tool on the MLS, and you can really drill down based on area or zip code or a city or anything of that kind of drill down into that local specific area that you're sitting in that property about. You'll have to do it ahead of time because doing it there on the spot becomes very, very complex and challenging when you have a lot of people touring. But have a market statistic sheet about what's going on in that given neighborhood or that given locale. And then don't give the flyers to the clients. Giving the flyers to the clients is not a good strategy. Giving the flyers will only give them more information and talk themselves out of touring further. Sometimes that four-bedroom home, you know, actually has that bonus space that will work perfect for that extra desk or that extra craft room or that extra storage that that client is looking for. So sometimes just walking through and touring the property will give the client the answers that they need. Number 8, best choice sheets for feedback. We don't have I believe we have something set up that we've created. I don't remember if we posted it on the resource guide or not, but if you need some sheets for feedback, my biggest advice would be to use, there's some tablets that WFG puts together, which is like it's a square pad. And to actually make that, I was actually considering doing our own Best Choice Realty pads to make it. It was like a ridiculous high amount, you know. So we should really use the resources that our title companies provide for us. And WFG, it's a very small branding piece on the bottom, but they provide a very nice feedback sheet that you can have ready for buyers that are coming through and touring. I've also seen a clipboard with a sign-in sheet with it has very simple name, phone number, email address. That would be sufficient as a way to check in. Because, again, anybody that comes through and tours because you've used your key box, you are responsible for. And ultimately, there could be some things that have stolen, things, damage that have been done to the property, and you'd hate to have that happen on your watch. So you try to control it as best as you can by having a sign-in sheet and requiring every client or every buyer that is touring, even neighbors, to sign in. And you can say the seller has requested that you sign in prior to touring. If somebody refuses, you can excuse them from the property and tell them the seller considers that trespassing, and, you know, be sure to have some of your safety stuff, you know, available. But I haven't actually had anybody, I've had people maybe give me wrong information when they've been asked to sign in, but usually they will go ahead and with the protocol and sign in or provide a business card if they're an agent so that you know who has been touring the property. And then you know what has occurred. So make sure that they sign in, and those sheets that WFG puts together, it's in a pad format. The tip I have is have 3 people, maybe your lender, fill out feedback on the property, maybe a neighbor fill out feedback about the property, and then one other. And have 3 feedback sheets, if you're going to do the sheets, where they actually give information about the price, about the condition of the property, have them already filled out so that they're not the first person that shows up at the open house is not like, oh, am I the first person here? You may want to have these already filled out ahead of time. And then you want to follow up with the people that gave feedback. Don't wait for a week. I've made that mistake, and they're like, what property? What open house? They must be followed up within 72 hours in order to have success at finding out, A, if they're interested in the current property you did the open house for, or B, if they are a suitable lead for you to work and follow up with. But you have to contact them and find out or give them more information. More information could be what price or how many offers you received. Not everybody is ready to go when they tour an open house, but you may want to follow up and give them more information about the property or about the competitiveness of the property in general, or just market statistics or other properties you know of coming on the market. But you do want to make that contact within 72 hours. Number 9, you're going to want to do a CMA. And you're going to want to know if the listing agent has priced right, if it's slightly high. When you are sitting in the open house, you don't represent the seller. In fact, you will be representing the buyer as they tour. So if you are doing it for yourself, say you're the listing agent, realize that you can only share certain things about the property. You know, obviously things that are on the flyer or the marketing remarks, those things can be shared with the buyers that come through and tour on their own. But if they start to entertain, I'm very interested, I'd like to put an offer in, you've got a choice to make. At that point in time, you should establish an agency agreement with them. The buyer needs to have a buyer agency. And once you have a buyer agency agreement with them, then you can provide them with a comparables. things that have sold, things that are pending, things that are active on the marketplace in a very similar area, timeline, and similar type of property. But only can you begin to represent them as long as your seller has agreed that that is okay. If your seller has said, no, I don't want you representing me and representing the buyers that come through, then that's when you want to contact me or to contact somebody else on the team and see if they are wanting to represent the buyer. If they are, then you will give them that buyer's agent's phone number and they will contact the buyer's agent and represent them and provide a buyer agency agreement for that buyer to sign. Just because you work in the same firm, it might give you a leg up, you know, because you have, you know, a best choice realty agent representing that particular client. So you know that response time is going to be good, communication is going to be good, and education is very, very high. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the deal. So when you're in multiple offer situation, I often like to advise my seller that I will only represent them and that I will put them in contact with a buyer's agent that can represent them as people come and tour. That's another reason why you should have somebody join you or have another agent from our firm do the open house for you. But also always, always, always make sure that you get the seller's permission before you have somebody else do the open house for you, another agent from our company, or before you decide on how you're going to represent the buyers coming through the open house. Make sure they're okay with how you're going to structure things. But a CMA will definitely show you, you know, are they priced right? Are they priced too high? Are they priced too low? But you may want to do a CMA if you're doing an open house for somebody to make sure you have your facts and you have that ready to go in your bag. So if you have a buyer and they're wondering, what should we offer, you have some information you can provide them with very easily. You have access to my Cloud CMA account, and you can use Cloud CMA as a very nice, clean presentation and have that ready to go if you are doing a CMA for a listing here this weekend. Number 10, the last tip I'm going to share with you before I let you guys go would be the greeting. Instead of just saying, come and tour my beautiful home and sign in on the sign-in sheet, what you may want to do is not have the flyers, pull the flyers out of the open house, out of the sign, pull the flyers so they're not readily viewable on the kitchen counter so that somebody could just pick one up and walk away and walk out. Instead, have all of that marketing material gone, and if you're doing an open house where there's just, I would say, average amount of people coming through, I have 5 to 10 people coming through an open house would be average. Anything above 10 to 20 people coming through an open house is above average. If it's an average amount of flow, there's no reason why you can't have conversations with every single person that comes through. Get them to sign in, and then instead of saying, you know, Rochelle, do you have a flyer or about that talks about the house? You know, instead of you saying, yes, here it is, and you give them that flyer, instead turn it around and ask them the question, and I'd write this down. This is my last tip I'm going to give you. What can I tell you about the property? What can I tell you about the home? And that will start your dialogue. Oh, how many bedrooms does it have? Well, it's got 4 bedrooms. How many bedrooms are you looking for? Well, we need a bedroom that has something on the main. Oh, okay. Well, this one does not have a bedroom on the main, but what I can do is find other properties in the neighborhood that have bedrooms on the main. Tell me more about what you're looking for. And you treat them just like a buyer at that point in time. You ask them questions that are about their home search, what are the properties they've seen, who they're working with on their financing. Get as much information as you can write down on their feedback sheet or on your notepad. But again, you are the listener. You are the buyer's agent at that point in time. And you're trying to connect the buyer with this property as much as you can. But most of the time, the property may not work for them. And you need to be able to ask them enough questions to build more trust and rapport. Just giving them a flyer and having them walk out the door is not going to do the trick. You've got to ask questions like, what can I tell you about the property to get the conversation going? So that's what I've got for you guys tonight. Hopefully some of these tips were helpful. If you're doing these tips, kudos to you for probably having some great success. We are trying some new strategies, like I said, with night open houses or trying some things in different areas with more signage or more support from lenders and other people from our company. But, you know, having it all prepared ahead of time, even a week before, can make a huge difference in your turnout and the success of your open house. So with that, I'll let you guys go. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next Monday, and enjoy the nice sunshine and the hot weather. Hopefully you have air conditioning. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.